In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, all of us love a happy ending. Whether it be in a good novel or a well-loved classic movie, we're in a situation that turns out well. We have something of that even in the traditional Latin Mass. A beautiful and happy ending, but even better. The priest completes the Mass by sending us forth with his blessing, and then he concludes it all with the last gospel, which is, in fact, the prologue of St. John's Gospel. In it is a short summation of what God has done for us and what our lives ought to be. In today's epistle, we hear the concept that ought to be familiar to us because we hear it at almost every Mass in the last Gospel. That concept is that in the divine scheme of things, we're expected to become the adopted children of God. God has arranged things in such a way that we're no longer on the level of a paid servant who just does his job, receives his wage, and then goes off on his merry way. Rather, we're members of God's household who do our share and are invited to share the same hospitality of heaven as members of the divine family. St. Paul says that for this adoption to take place, we must live by the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God. Now, St. John phrases it slightly differently, but the effect is exactly the same. To those who received him, he gave the power of becoming sons of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, what exactly does this mean? Is it something that everyone can do? Is it possible for the average individual to achieve this kind of holiness, this kind of dedication, a holiness and dedication that our Lord demands? Or do we simply shrug our shoulders and sigh and say that the sanctity is just for a small chosen few? It's not for me. The answer to that is, as we know, quite clear. God extends his graces to all those who are willing to cooperate with them. Sanctity is not the sole prerogative of the occasional ascetic like St. Anthony of the Desert, for example, or the occasional mystic like St. Gertrude the Great. Those lives can be lived by only a very few. We would all starve to death. If everyone in Christendom gave up all their possessions and traded them for a cave out in the desert, or spent all of their time in contemplative prayer. It's clearly obvious that when our Lord speaks of perfection achieved by giving up home and family and property and wealth, he's not addressing the entirety of mankind or even the entirety of the saints. Because the world which he created would cease to work if everyone followed that supererogatory path, that is, a path above and beyond what is normally required of us. So the vast majority of us must find our own sanctity in ways that are not so completely detached from the duties and obligations of life in the world, in the family, and in the church. Our sanctity must of necessity be found in following the Spirit of God in the world rather than the spirit of flesh in that same world. St. Paul's own life is a good example of what this might mean. We know that St. Paul was a man of prayer in the highest degrees, but also a man of action, one who traveled extensively to spread the faith, one who wrote more extensively than any other author in the New Testament, one who suffered the wrath of both men and nature. He was also a man of practicality, earning his own living as a tent maker and seeing to his own needs, giving reasonable advice to new Christians, not asking more of them than they were capable of giving or bearing. To not be guided by the spirit of the flesh does not mean a complete renunciation of material things. It cannot mean that, because we're material creatures. We're composed of body and soul, the body being material. It means being guided by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in the right use of the things we possess, in the right use of material things. It means keeping the commandments, honoring God as He deserves, respecting the rights of our families and our neighbors in their lives, in their property, and in their family relationships. All of those things are a minimum, and even the pagans are bound to them. They show us how we are to make use of our material existence. One ought as well to recognize the need for Catholics to keep the precepts of the Church. Sunday Mass, Friday abstinence, Lenten fasting, confession, Holy Communion, the support of the parish church, or in this case our apostolate, the clergy, the following of the Church's regulations on matrimony. Remember, these things bind under pain of sin. They aren't optional. We're also aware of a number of good works that we ought to perform, which are also not optional. The spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Remember those? From Catechism. Admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive injuries, to pray for the living and the dead. And the corporal works of mercy, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, and bury the dead. Now we have to note that none of these things require the renunciation of material things. And indeed, many of them would be impossible without some material possessions. We cannot support our family or the church or feed the hungry without at least some material wealth. But all of these things that we do under the guidance of the Spirit of God rather than in a spirit of worldly selfishness. There are the things which enable us to become sons and daughters of God. Finally, we're called to recognize what our Lord advises in today's gospel. Obviously, He's not advising us to steal from our employers, as did the unjust steward. He's not commending his dishonesty, but He's advising us to follow the steward's example by making use of the opportunities we have to lay up grace in heaven. We all know that we're allotted some unknown number of days here on earth, a finite amount of time during which we can do things pleasing to God or not. Now, the most obvious opportunity for us using our time wisely is in prayer. So, is prayer, is spiritual reading, or is reading to learn more about our faith part of our daily schedule? And what about attending Mass during the week once in a while? Day in and day out, our Lord waits patiently in the tabernacle for our visit. Each day He renews His sacrifice of the cross, although in an unbloody manner, on our altars. Can all of us be here at least some of the time? This applies not only to what we owe God and what we owe Holy Mother Church, but also what we owe our neighbor. We can very easily tell ourselves or tell others about how important it is to sacrifice, how important it is to offer things up, to offer ourselves for others. But when it comes down to it, how do we see ourselves? Do we really do what we say? Do we want to talk, as we say nowadays? Or do we come up with excuses? We all profess to be very busy, but in many cases, that's because we spend our time on less useful things. Time spent in mindless pastimes. TV, internet, social media, YouTube, cell phones, and such things could be so much more valuable if we spend at least some of it in prayer or in spiritual reading or by attending Holy Mass or doing charitable works. What our Blessed Lord is suggesting in today's Gospel is that there will come a day when we lose our place here on earth, and we must rely on God to take us to heaven, and that He will ask an accounting. When that day comes, it will be good for us indeed if we can remind God of the times which we spent in holy pursuits instead of wasting our time on frivolous and useless pastimes and enterprises. My friends, we enjoy so many abundant opportunities to convert our time on earth into things which will bring us the happiness of eternity, the happiness of heaven, rather than the sorrows of hell, because hell is a reality, and it's a reality for all of us, just as heaven is a reality for all of us. We receive in God's providence many opportunities each day to do good, to offer ourselves, to sanctify ourselves, and to help sanctify others. Do we take advantage of these opportunities? Are we letting ourselves be led by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God? Or are we being led by another spirit? A spirit, perhaps, of selfishness, inordinate self-love, a spirit of the world. All important questions we need to ask ourselves. Remember, whoever is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.